1 Corinthians chapter 12, resuming at verse 12, we have commenced a three-chapter study on the spiritual gifts, the gifts of the Spirit. And this morning we will dig a little bit deeper into that, but we'll be here until the end of chapter 14. That's going to be our major topic of study. Let's recap first, before we read. Paul began this entire concentration of study by notifying Christians that this is one of the topics that Christians cannot afford to be ignorant or unlearned about, the spiritual gifts. This is stuff you have to know. Ignorance on this topic typically leads to the extremes of either cessationism or unbridled Pentecostalism. Those are two extremes that far miss the mark that Paul is looking for a Christian church. In fact, every Christian should be what is known as a continuationist. What does a continuationist mean? Well, first it means you have to know how the spiritual gifts were used in the early church. You need to know what they are. You need to know why they exist, and then you need to know how they are to still be operated in the church today. We believe in all of the gifts of the Spirit. We haven't picked and chosen our way through them and thrown out the ones we didn't like, the ones that made us uncomfortable. We believe that all of the gifts of the Spirit are still in existence today, but because we are a very Bible-centric church, we want to stick very close to the Bible. We are going to make sure that our practice confirms and holds consistent to our beliefs. And in that case, that means though we believe all of the gifts of the Spirit, we want to make very sure that we understand them correctly and that we are operating them correctly. So a couple of important points that we've learned already about the gifts of the Spirit. Number one, every Christian is given a gift or multiple gifts of the Holy Spirit. Number two, those gifts are given by the Holy Spirit as He wills. He chooses what to give you. Number three, those gifts are intended to bless the church, not entertain the individual who receives them. These aren't play toys. These are tools for the edification of the church and the salvation of souls. Number four, we won't all be given the same gifts. Number five, even if we were given the same gifts, because we are so different as individual people, those gifts will look different and produce a wide variety of expression from just all of the different folks in the church. Number six, all of that variety is coming from one Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Well, then Paul walked us through a handful of the gifts of the Spirit, a far cry from the whole list, but I do believe that Paul gave us some of the most common ones, some of the most obvious ones that you're more than likely to see operating within a church, and perhaps even some of the most necessary ones. Now, there are other very necessary gifts that Paul has yet to mention but for sure he has given us some of the most important gifts that are needed in the church. And now we come in chapter 12, verse 12, to the famous passage, actually one of two, where Paul uses the metaphor of the human body to teach us truths about the operation of our church. We already had a study like this, where Paul used the human body as a metaphor for the church. And that was back in Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8. I don't know if you remember this, but in that case, and indeed in this case today, in both cases, as Paul gave us that metaphor of the human body, they were both closely connected to what Paul had to say about the gifts of the Spirit. Go check that out. Look at Romans chapter 12 later. He mentions the body metaphor first, but then right after that, immediately, he's talking about the gifts of the Spirit. Here, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul starts talking about the gifts, then he gives us the body metaphor, and then he launches right back into the gifts. So it's pretty obvious what he's doing in both cases, as he's given us this metaphor to teach us about life in the church body, what he wants to make sure we understand is that this definitely involves gifts, the gifts, the appearance of those gifts, and the exercise of those gifts within the church. So just remember that, factor that in as we study here. And let's begin reading in verse 12. It says, "For just as the body," Paul's speaking about a human body here, he's laying the foundation for his metaphor, "just as the human body is one and has many members," or many parts, "and all the members of the body," all of the different body parts, "though many, are one body," one human body. Okay, now here's where Paul takes and makes his transition with the metaphor. He says, "so it is with Christ." And what he means by that statement is, so it is in the earthly body of Christ. He's talking about the church there. When he says, "so it is with Christ," he's talking about the church. So all that he really said in verse 12 is that a human body is a very good metaphor for the church. That's what he just said in verse 12. Now, both have different working parts, and yet both function as one. So that's what we're going to be building off of today as we go through the scriptures here. Verse 13, "For in one Spirit we were all baptized," or identified with, "into the body, Jews or Greeks," so regardless of ethnic background, "slaves or free," that would be regardless of socioeconomic background, "and all were made to drink of one Spirit." Succinctly put, when you get saved by faith in Jesus, you drank in the Holy Spirit. He came in within you to dwell within you, and at that same time, he identified you with Christ. He baptized you into Christ. That means upon the moment of your salvation, you are a member of the true church, Christ's church. Now, I know we still go through the outward action of baptism to identify us with Christ and the church, but the fact is, as Paul has well stated here, the moment that you are saved, the Holy Spirit has baptized you into, he has identified you with the church of Jesus the Christ. Verse 14, "For the body does not consist of one member, but of many." Indeed, that's true. There are over 200 distinct body parts in the human body, depending on how you want to define and categorize them, ranging from organs and bones to muscles and tissues and systems and structures. There's a bunch of different functioning parts within the human body. Now, relating that to the church, we would understand the connection that he's making. There are a ton of different members in the body of Christ. That's every single person that is truly saved. They're a part of his church. And regardless of the name that's on the church sign, regardless of the denomination, if they are a true Christian, if they are in a true church, which we can't always say, right? We can't always say, "I believe that person is a true Christian." And unfortunately, we can't always say, "Yeah, I believe that church is a true church." But if it's a true Christian in a true church, then, man, tons of members of this body, the body of Christ, all over the world. Not just Anchored Fellowship, not just Calvary Chapels, not just denominations that we think are best. These are all true Christians in all true churches. And now Paul's going to address two unhealthy extremes. All right. The first that he's going to address would be those who are unhappy with their role, their discontent with their role in the church. And because Paul is connecting this all to giftings, then we have to include this. These are folks that are unhappy with the gift or the giftings that the Holy Spirit has given them to use within the church. So we would call this first address as an address to those with gift envy. Do you have gift envy today? Is that you? I mean, you don't have to raise your hand. You can if you want. We're not going to, like, you know, do anything bad to you if you do. I've had gift envy before. Why can't I sing like that person? Why can't I teach like that person. I've had gift envy, for sure, before. Well, if you got gift envy, you need to listen very closely to the first section of what Paul's going to say. And then in the second section, he's going to address a second category of folks. And these would be folks who are way too happy about their role in the church. They are way too happy about their gift or their spiritual giftings. These are probably people that like think beyond the spiritual gifts, more so that they themselves are God's gift to the church. So we would call this second group of people that need addressed and corrected the folks that have gift pride. So we're looking at gift envy and gift pride. Those are extremes, and neither one of those is going to be a good thing. As with Paul, it always is that we need to be aiming for balance. We have to strike a balance between these two. Obviously, that means we should be content with our own role within the church. We should be content with the giftings and the degree of giftings that the Lord has given to us. We shouldn't see, and, you know, contrary-wise, flip side of that, we shouldn't see ourselves and our roles and our gifts as the most important thing, the only thing that really matters to the exclusion of all of the others. We just need to find that balance in all of these things. So, again, Paul is now first going to address those who are unhappy with their role in the church and unhappy with their gifting or giftings within the church. This is for people with gift envy, verse 15. Paul says, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I quit. I do not belong to the body. That would not make it any less a part of the body. All right, why does it sound like Paul is teaching a bunch of juveniles here? Well, it's because he's teaching a bunch of spiritual juveniles here. That's why. That is because Paul knows very well some of the problems in the church at Corinth. They were, and if you can't see it yet, you'll see it in chapter 14. They were championing certain gifts as the most important gifts that everyone needed. Nothing else mattered but those gifts. And here I think, I'm pretty sure this was their order. Tongues, interpretation of tongues, utterances of prophecy. Yeah, Bible teaching, I don't think even made their list. Healings, I don't even think that made their list. They were mainly obsessed with those three gifts, and probably in that order. So if you were a part of the church at Corinth, and you didn't have the fellowship faves, if you didn't have the most coveted gifts as it related to the church at Corinth, then you kind of felt left out. You felt like you didn't really belong. You felt like what you brought to the church was just way less important, completely undervalued and underappreciated. So here's Paul getting down on their juvenile level and teaching them in a very juvenile way. He's basically saying, okay, class, now picture with me, if you will, a foot that's discontent because it wants to be the hand. It's a really juvenile way to teach. And yet it's so powerful because even the most juvenile cannot miss these lessons that Paul's teaching. He has like made this fruit as low-hanging as it could possibly be. It's going to correct a lot of the issues in the church pertaining to the gifts of the Spirit if you'll just walk through everything that Paul says here. I guess we could understand where Paul starts here and why the hand may seem to be the more glorious part of the body, more so than the foot. The hands are usually out in the open for everyone to see. Sometimes they're adorned with rings to make look pretty. If you're a female, you know, and then those fingernails are all painted up. So they're beautified. They're adorned. They get to shake hands with people. They can even assist the mouth in communication because they can point and they can wave and they can maneuver. They hold our Bibles for us. There are very prominent, important roles for the hands. So looking at it in a very juvenile way, we would say, well, you know, you're right. The hands really are a glamorous part of the body. And feet are definitely not. Feet are always hidden away. There's a reason for that. We cram those things inside of hot and sweaty socks and shoes all day long, which means usually when you do let the feet out, they're kind of stinky. And you don't want to shake feet with people. You know, think of the absurdity of all of this. You know, you go to shake someone's hand and they say, wait a minute. Look, I've kind of delegated that role to the foot. I had a foot that was unhappy. I wanted to make it happy, feel a part. I wanted it to feel a part of the body. So I've delegated handshaking. I've delegated that role to the foot. And then they, you know, take their shoe off and their sock off. And then they want you to shake their foot. Would you shake their foot? Anyone in here shaking feet? I'm not shaking feet. That's really gross. I promise you, that happens. We are turning the ushers loose on those folks. There's a reason why those body parts stay hidden away. So what if the feet do revolt and say, that's it, I'm done. If I cannot be the hand, then I'm leaving. I'm going to go find another body that'll let me be the hand. I just don't feel welcome. I don't feel special. I'm never out in the open. I'm never featured. Never even really mentioned. And yet I do all of this work. So I'm not attending anymore. I quit. Verse 16. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. So this is an even more pitiful and persnickety discontentment, because the ear is on the head. It's in a prominent place. It's visible. But it's discontent that it's not central. It's discontent that its role is not its desired role, because no one looks you in the ear when they're talking to you. Everyone's looking in the eyes. The eyes get all of the attention. I'm an ear. I'm tired of it. I'm just stuck on the side. I want to be front and center. I want people to look me in the ear when they're talking to me. You've no doubt heard of foot and mouth disease, I think it's called, right? Well, Paul's teaching us about foot and ear disease in the body of Christ. He's revealing actually quite a bit to us about human nature, not just human nature generally, but human nature as it gets turned loose without being constrained by Christ in the church. So this is the guitar player that's upset because he's not the worship leader. Why does Tammy get to be out front and center in the stage, leading the whole team? I'm stuck on the side. I'm not even the only guitar player. There's another acoustic guitar player, and there's a bass guitar player. This is the janitor that is upset that they're not the pastor. It's the usher that's upset that they're not a part of the AV crew. It's the children's teacher that's upset that they're not the secretary treasurer of the church. It's folks that are discontent in their position. So Paul says, if the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? I think you're starting to see the problem here. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If every body part got together and unanimously decided the eye is by far the central piece of the body. It's beautiful. It's one of the major functions. I think we should all be the eye. And if that takes place, then what do you get? What are you left with? A great big giant eyeball. No mouth, no ears, no arms, no legs, just a giant eyeball. You know, expand that thought a little bit. And what if all of our human bodies did this to us? They all just, every part decided, we're just going to be the eye. And here we are, we're all giant eyeballs rolling to church. And we come to church, and what do? We sit here and stare at each other. And that's it. We can't talk to one another. Wouldn't matter if we did, because we can't hear one another. We're just staring at one another. That's one body function. One body function out of very many. How's that going to help your spirituality, right? Getting together, staring at each other. Oh, what a service, man. That was great. The visuals, incredible. Reading on in verse 17, if the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? You know, what if that were your full extent of being? You were just one great big giant ear. And again, expand that out. We are flopping our way to church, and we get here late because flopping is a much less efficient way of travel than rolling. At least if you're a giant eyeball, that's quicker. It would hurt, but that's quicker. Giant ears flopping our way to church. And man, can you imagine our reputation? That church, they are great listeners. Yeah, but what's being said in our church? What's being done? What's getting accomplished? Nothing. We're great listeners, but that's all we're good for. Because we've chosen to pick one body function out of the very many body functions. It is just as absurd for us, church, to take any one role in the church or any one spiritual gifting in the church and then elevate that gifting to be the best one, the one that we should all strive to get. It's pretty ridiculous for us to do that. What if we all decided to be the pastor of Anchored Fellowship? Well, don't quit your job. Because the pay is getting split up between all of us. We're getting like $50 a month each. And what are we pastoring? You know, just envision 50, 60, 75 shepherds all out in the sheep pen. No sheep. That's too many shepherds, not enough sheep. That's too many chiefs, not enough Indians. There's no one to shepherd. What if we all decided to be a part of the AV crew? There'd be nothing to live stream and record. We'd all be sitting back there at the booth, and we'd need a much bigger AV booth. What if we decided that we were all going to be the bass player? Actually, that one would be kind of groovy. You know what? Bad example. That one doesn't work here. So, I hope you're seeing that none of this is about what's actually more important in the church. It's just all about our distorted perception of all of that. Paul's not going to tell you that the eye is more important than the foot or anything like that. He's not saying that. It could sound like he's saying that. He's not. He's trying to correct our distorted perception of all of this, that we get it in our heads that one thing is more important than the other. One position, one role, one gifting more important than the others. It's just not so. Yes, the eye and the hand have important roles in the human body, but so do the feet, and so do the ears. Yes, the pastor and worship leader, those are important roles in the church, but so is the role of children's teacher, so is the role of usher and AV crew and janitor. Every single role in the body of Christ is important and crucial to full body health, just as every function of every body part is important and vitally crucial to the wholeness and the healthiness of a human body. So what's the most important body part or function? Well, that just depends on completely what it is that you need from the body in that moment of time. A healthy human body doesn't sit around and argue about what's most important. What body part is best? What function is most significant? Healthy body parts do not revolt against the rest of the body and then threaten resignation like we often see in the church. Well, if I can't do that, I'm going to go find another church that'll let me. Aren't you glad your body doesn't do that to you? Your arm just deciding, I'm done with this. He's left-handed, moron. I'm the right arm. What am I doing here? What's the point? I'm going to go find a body where that person is willing to be right-handed. And I get to really do some stuff. Aren't you glad our bodies don't do that to us? Isn't it a shame then in the comparison? Shouldn't it wake us up? How awful it is that this happens in the church? Healthy body parts stay where they're supposed to be. Praise the Lord God Almighty. They know their part. They do their part. And the same is true or is to be true in the church. If we want the church to be healthy, whole, balanced, well-rounded, fully functional, then we're all going to want to know exactly what our part is to play, what our role is, what our position may be, what God has gifted us to do within the church. We're going to want to know what that is. We're going to want to stay in that lane. We're not going to want to have gift envy. And we're not going to want to have gift pride. We're just going to do what we're supposed to do and let the Lord work out the rest of how the entire body functions, because the rest of it is outside of our hands. Verse 18, but as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as He chose. Okay, so maybe in the past, you have been a little bit discontent with your role in the church. Maybe you felt like you should do more, or you should be more visible. Why am I stuck in the sock and the shoe? I want to be up on the head, or at least on some part of the body, like the hand that's exposed. Maybe you've been discontent with your role or your giftings in the church in the past. Maybe that explains you presently. Maybe you're currently a little bit discontent that you're not doing what you think you should be doing in the church and for the church. If that's you, does it help that you just read what you just read? Does it help to know that God put you exactly where He wanted you to be in the local church that He wanted you to be? That He gave you the exact role He wanted you to have? And that He has given you the proper giftings that He wanted you to have? Does it help to know that? That God chose what He chose for you on purpose and He likes it that way? I think that should help us. That should help us to find contentment. Why are we wanting more from ourselves than God is asking of us? You know what that causes when you do that? Stress. More stress. Who wants that? Here's what I want to know. Lord, what is it that You want from me? Like, exactly. Okay, that's what I want to do. Not above and beyond that. Because I'm going to need Your help just to get to that level, just to do what it is that You're wanting me to do. I don't want to be spreading myself thin in trying to do things that You've never called for me to do and You've never gifted for me to do. You know how hard that is? To do stuff that God didn't gift you to do? That's tough. I do that twice a week here at Anchored Fellowship, teaching the Bible, Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. You guys don't like self-effacing humor? Okay, that's fine. We'll move on. I'll just make fun of you guys then. It's totally fine with me. I actually prefer it that way. He put you in the local church you're in. He gave you the role you have. He gave you the gift or the gifts of the Spirit that He's given you. And to please Him, all you have to do is accept that, embrace that, and then continue to participate in that moving forward. If He wants to change your role and your position, He will. Promotion comes from Him, not within, not from man. Promotion comes from Him. If He wants to change your role or your position, He will. If He wants to increase your giftings or give you different giftings, He will. Because that's how the Holy Spirit does this. As He wills. Not as you thinketh, as He willeth. Verse 19. If all were a single member, where would the body be? So think about whatever visual you need to think about to get this truth to grab onto your heart here. A giant eyeball rolling around town. A giant ear flopping its way to work. A giant nose trying to snort propel its way to the neighbor's house. Or how about this one for the radical Pentecostals? A giant tongue slithering its way to church so it can, quote unquote, steal the show. Speak in tongues. By the way, it wouldn't work. You still need, you know, vocal cords, vocal box, mouth, lips. But you get the point, right? This is all just ridiculous thought to teach us truth that should be obvious to us. Maybe it wasn't before. It will be now by the time that Paul's done. Think about whatever one body part, one function body, whatever monstrosity of humanity that you need to think about here, so that you never forget the truth that Paul is teaching us. So the truth that every single aspect, every part, every function, every system, every structure of the body is vitally important to the health and well-being of that body. Verse 20, as it is, there are many parts, yet one body. So just go back to the discontented foot for a second, if you will. What is the foot failing to consider when it's all bummed out that it's stuck in the hot, sweaty sock and not on the arm where the hand is, that it's not the hand, that it's not visible, that it's not active and engaged, that it's not celebrated, that it's not recognized? What is it failing to consider? What is the foot failing to consider? Boy, that's a weird statement. But this is what Paul's teaching us, so this is what we got to do. What is the foot failing to consider? In that discontentment, the foot is failing to consider the fact that it serves an extremely important function for that human body. What is that? It is first in the line of duty for what we call movement, mobility, motion. If the feet decide to leave the body, that is going to handicap the body. The feet are needed for proper motion and mobility of the body. So if the feet desert on us, we can't travel, at least not easily. Every single part of the body is needed for the well-being and the wholeness of the body. Okay, now Paul is going to address our second group of folks. First, he addressed those with gift envy, and now he's going to address those with gift pride, those who think way too much of their calling, their roles, their positions in the church, their giftings that are being exercised in the church. These people need to be tempered just as much as the other folks, if not more so. I'd say more so. I think more so. He says in verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Why can't it say that? Because it's a giant eyeball. It doesn't have a mouth. No, that's not the reason. But the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. It is very healthy for you to feel as though your calling and your gifting or your giftings are the absolute most important callings and giftings for you. But it is never appropriate for you to try to put that same belief onto someone else. You cannot push that onto others. Your callings and giftings, they're not the most important, period. They can be the most important to you, and that's fine, but they can never be the most important, period. You can't say, helping others is where it's at. You can only say, helping others is where it's at for me. You can't say, drum playing is where it's at. I mean, we can't all be drum players. That's a disaster. You can't say drum playing is where it's at, but you can say drum playing is where it's at for me. That's the most important thing for me, even more so than Bible teaching. That's my role. That's what God gifted me to do. He gifted me to bang on the drums and do it in a way that sounds good. And so that's what is most important to me. That's what I got to do. But you can't look down on other people with different callings and different giftings than you have. You certainly can't disfellowship them and kick them out of the body. Look, we just don't need you anymore. I'm the Bible teacher. I think that's the most important thing. The rest of y'all, you're dismissed. We don't really need you. Just need the Bible teaching. That's craziness. You're eliminating body functions. You're handicapping your church. You're going from many functions to just one function, whatever that one function is. And that is a very quick way to kill a church. Because it's a very quick way to kill a body. Verse 22. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem, would you please underline that word, seem? The parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Again, it's not that there are weaker parts. in the church. Sure, we would say that about the human body, but it's not that there are in the church. It's that this is the way that it erroneously seems to us. This is the stuff Paul's trying to correct us of, right? On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Just think about that. We've only talked about external parts so far. What about the internal parts? The heart, the kidneys, the liver, the blood vessels, the thyroid, all that inside stuff. There's a reason why we have that all tucked away inside, not out in the open for all to see. And that reason is not because those parts aren't important and they're just expendable, like vestigial stuff, the heart. Yeah, that's vestigial. We don't really need that. Kidney, lungs, who cares? Stick it in there, like in the closet. It's not why those parts of the body are within. Those parts of the body are within because they are vital parts of the body. They're sensitive parts of the body. So they're inside the body so that the rest of the body can protect them. It's not because we don't value them or need them. It's because we realize how much we do. It's because those parts of the body are so vital that they are tucked away inside and protected from injury. You've probably heard before about someone wearing their heart on their sleeve. Thankfully, no one really does that. Because if you did that, if you decided to have the heart pulled out of the chest by the doctor and stuck on the sleeve, you'd live a very short life. Like, very short. That stuff cannot be visible because that stuff needs to be protected. And just because it's not visible, that doesn't mean it's not vital. In fact, you can live without an eye. The stuff we've been talking about so far, you can live without an ear. You can live without a foot. You can live without an arm. You can live without a leg. You can live without a lot of the visible parts. You can't live without too many of the internal non-visible parts, can you? Maybe a spleen. Anyone know what that's for? I'm not really sure what that's for. I still don't think it's vestigial. I think it does something. I think God put it there for a reason. I just don't know what it does. I don't think anyone else does. The appendix, that's not a vestigial part. You can live without it. I don't have one. I had it removed twice. Don't ask. Long story. Not many, though. Can you live without your lungs? No. Can you live without your heart? No. Can you live without your brain? No. Can you live without your digestive system? Well, no. Not without some kind of workaround. Those parts are vital to the survival of the body, the liver, the stomach, the kidneys. So in the ancient days when men marched into battle and wore armor, what did they wear the armor over? What were they protecting? The brain, the chest, and the abdomen. They were protecting the places where all of the vital, internal, tucked away, hidden aside stuff was located. The stuff that really could very likely get them killed quickly if it was punctured or wounded in some way. Verse 23, and on those parts of the body that we think, you could underline that one too, that we think, not that it is, but that we think less honorable, we actually, if you think about it, bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty. That foot that was discontented in verse 15 because it wasn't the hand, was used to always being covered up, never visible. Well, we are actually showing the foot greater honor and greater modesty when we put a sock and a shoe on that thing. We're showing it greater care, greater attention than we are the hand, because if we left the foot uncovered all day, if we left the feet uncovered all day, the feet are going to be taking all kind of abuse. Eventually, the feet are going to get sore. The feet are going to get cut up. The feet are going to get wounded. And eventually, that's going to sideline the whole body. So we're thinking about the feet. If I'm leaving, I've got to protect my feet. I've got to make sure the feet don't get injured. What are you saying about the hand? Who cares? If it gets cold and it complains enough, all right, stick a glove on it, whatever. Leave me alone. You're fine. Quit complaining. We think about the feet. We give the feet more care than we do the hand. It's actually the foot between the two that we pamper. The hand doesn't get to wear the $120 Nikes or the $30 New Balances. Right, Mark? The feet get that. The feet get the extra care. So the point would be, even if you're not prominent and visible in your role and in your gifting within the church, you are still vital. That's the point here. You're still vital to what we do. And don't think we're trying to cover you up and keep you hidden. We're probably trying to protect you. If we got you working off to the side while church stuff's going on, we're protecting you so you can do your thing. So you don't get caught up in all the other stuff that's taking place. You can do your role. We're protecting you. We're giving special attention to you to help you function because we think that what you're doing and how you're functioning is vital to our church. Verse 23, and on those parts of the body that we read that. Verse 24, which our most presentable parts or our more prominent and more visible parts do not require, but God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it. Verse 25, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care one for another. So Paul is saying that we cannot be a body that is at war with itself. The toe can't be kicking the eyeball because it's jealous of the eyeball. The heart and the lungs can't be in there duking it out over who gets to be higher up in the chest. The body can't be attacking itself. What happens when a body part stops cooperating with the rest of the body and starts fighting against the rest of the body? What do we call that? We call that a medical condition of some sort. We call that a disease. We call that an ailment. And depending on what that is, depending on what body part is failing to cooperate and kicking and fighting against the rest of the body, that can either mean sidelining you for a while, or even taking your life. Now consider this. If you're one of those Christians that thinks to yourself, well, I don't need church. I mean, you're not saved by church. You're not saved by whether or not you come to church. That's true. That is very true. I'll give that to you. But if you're saying, I don't need the body, I don't need the church, I don't really need to go there, I can listen to sermons online much better than Arlen does. I forgot you guys don't like self-deprecating humor. I can listen to worship music. Not as good as Tammy's stuff, but still pretty good. There. Being careful, right? I can get better stuff or equal stuff at home, on the couch. I don't need to show up and participate in the local church. Well, if you're a person that says that or feels that, I just want you to understand that in so doing, you are saying exactly what Paul is teaching against here. Here's what you're saying. You're saying, I don't need the body. I don't need the body. I just stay at home. I don't need the body. So whatever part you're meant, I really want you to get this visual. Whatever part God intended for you to be for our body, when you're at home on the couch, just picture that part laying on the couch. Let's say for visual sake, you're supposed to be the liver. All right, now picture the liver laying at home on the couch when it's supposed to be here in the church. And here we are at the church saying, well, without a liver today, or without a heart today, or without the lungs today, we got parts missing. The parts didn't show up. Parts didn't want to be part of the body. The parts said, I have no need to be a part of the body. I'm just content with the part that I am. Isn't that a very corrective visual exercise for us? Verse 26, if one member suffers, all suffer together. Okay, obviously this is true of the human body. I bet you spend very little time thinking about your pinky toe. But if you drop an anvil on your pinky toe today, your pinky toe is all you will be thinking about today. It will have all of your focus, and the reason being is because it didn't just hurt your pinky toe. It hurt your whole body. Your body's connected to your pinky toe. I don't think we need to go through the basics, elementary stuff. The pinky bones connect. No, we don't need to do that. Your pinky is connected to your whole body. So if your pinky is suffering, as little as it is, as insignificant, as few times as you may think of it in the course of the week, if it's hurting, the whole body is hurting. And it should be that way in the church. It definitely should be. We are all different body parts, but we comprise a whole. We are all interdependent. We are interdependent. I know the world pushes independence. Be a strong, independent woman. Sometimes, even if you're a man, that's what the world teaches. But the Bible teaches us interdependence. So if you quit on us, it affects us all. If our big toe doesn't show up today, it affects us all. If our foot quit on us, we're hurting. We're feeling that. We need every part where every part needs to be doing what that part should be doing. Reading on in verse 26, if one member is honored, all rejoice together. Doesn't the whole body rejoice that the shoes and the socks go on the feet? Isn't the whole body happy for the feet? Especially when it's 15 degrees outside and you get a walk from your porch to your car in the snow and in the frozen ground. Isn't your whole body happy that special attention and special honor was given to the foot and that the sock and the shoe was put on there? Yeah, the whole body is happy about that. Doesn't the whole body rejoice that the vitals are so honored that they're tucked inside the body and protected by the body? Isn't the whole body happy about that instead of wearing your heart on your sleeve? Oh, careful. Don't hit the heart. Aren't we? Isn't the whole body happy about that? Okay. Well, then it should be just as natural for a church that if someone's being honored in our church, if someone's visible and they're prominent, if they're doing work that's getting a lot of attention, we shouldn't be jealous. We shouldn't be envious of their position or their gifting. We should rejoice, because what's the point of all of it? The point of all of it is, we're all one body. So if someone is doing what they're doing exceptionally well and they're being honored for that, then guess what? That's a blessing to me, because that's my church. That's a Christian. I'm a fellow Christian. We're identified with Christ. We're part of His body. Their success, my success. Their honoring, my honoring. And then finally, in verse 27, we'll close with this. Worship team, come on up. Now you are the body of Christ, the earthly body of Christ, the church, and individually members of it. So each of you has a place in the church. You fit into the church differently. It was designed by God to be that way. And we have got to be good with our differences. No more gift envy. No more gift pride. We have to be good with our differences. We have to be okay with that other person being in that position. and you being in the position you're in. We have to be okay. We have to be good with that person having the gifting and giftings that they do when I have this gifting and these giftings. We have to be okay with all of that. If you are afoot, not that you would be afoot in the church in comparison, but if you were on a human body and you were afoot, we need you to be afoot. We don't need you to be a hand. If you're an eyeball, we need you to be an eyeball and not an ear. If you're an ear, we need you to be an ear and not an eyeball. If you're a vital, we need you to be a vital. We just need you to find where you are. Find where you are to be. Stay there. Embrace the gifts you have. And if you want more, then start with that gift and say, Lord, help me to cultivate this gift. Help me to stir this gift up so that I can do this even better for you in the church.